Now, as howling winds echo across the snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, the Quaker Oats Company, makers of Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the delicious cereal shot from guns, in cooperation with the Mutual Broadcasting System, present by special recording, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, breaking a trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
And King, on you, Husky!
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. And the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Our adventure will begin in just a moment. With summer here, pleasure driving time has arrived. There are more daylight hours, nice weather, and the fine outlook of the summer countryside. If you are on the highways or the road anywhere these summer days, be especially careful. There will be the inevitable traffic tie-ups and delays, the reckless drivers, the slow drivers, and the innumerable other incidents that can make warm weather driving so unpleasant and hazardous. Don't let your good spirits bubble over into unsafe speeds. When you're driving at high speeds, you can't stop as fast, can't control steering as well, and your eyes can't detect as clearly fast-moving hazards that seem to whiz past your car. So drive slower. You may arrive at your destination a little later, but your chances of getting there are better. When you're driving in the country, take it easy and enjoy your ride. Drive carefully and make this your best summer ever. This message is brought to you as a public service.
As Sergeant Preston entered Jim Allman's trading post in Beaver City, Big Jim gave him a hearty welcome.
Sergeant Preston, how are you?
Fine, Jim. How's everything with you?
Good. Take off your parka and sit down there close to the stove.
Why, thanks, Jim, but I stopped only long enough to say hello.
Aren't you going to be in town for a while?
No, King and I are shoving on this afternoon.
Doggone, I'm sorry to hear that. Where is King?
Up front, waiting for me.
Gosh, Sergeant, wish you were going to be around for a time. Sam Baxter's been hoping to see you.
Sam in trouble?
No, it's just that he spent most of the winter working on a mighty fancy collar for King.
Oh?
He'll be downright disappointed if he hears you've been here and gone.
Well, King and I are heading for Atumwa's Indian village. After we've seen the chief, we'll call on Sam.
As long as you'll be seeing Sam, maybe you won't mind dropping these letters off for him.
Oh, I'll be glad to, Jim.
Monk Wessel's taking some equipment out to Sam, but I don't like to trust him with nails.
I saw Monk's team and sled in front of the post as I came in.
It sounds like he's come back with the sled.
Mm.
Listen to those dogs howling. Monk beats the living daylights out of him. Sergeant, did you say King's outside?
Yes, he's waiting for me.
I sure hope Monk doesn't tangle with him.
He's better enough. Monk will have more than he can handle if he crosses King.
King won't like him. I have never yet seen a dog that didn't hate Monk Wessel.
Outside the trading post, Monk Wessel's dogs were fighting among themselves. Monk's heavy features were distorted with anger. He cracked his whip mercilessly in an effort to silence the team.
You're no good, hound! Get up, I tell you! Monk! Hey, Monk!
Phil, come on over here!
Monk! I took you for a
mountie
in that red barking.
Boys at the cafe said you were in town. How come you gave up dealing cards in the gambling hall at Salmon Creek?
Some locoed sourdoughs claimed the games were crooked. Threatened to kill me unless I left town. Right now, I'm looking for another job.
Hey, where are you staying?
Sullivan's Hotel.
Why not come out to my place? It won't cost as much.
Thanks, Monk. I'd like to do that.
I'll wait while you collect your gear.
Everything I own is on my back. How far do we go?
Well, my cab is about 4 hours from here.
What's wrong with your dogs?
Hey, I think that husky over there hasn't stirred up. He's moved. He'd like to quiet down.
He's a good-looking dog.
Belongs to Preston the Mountie.
Oh, so That's Preston's dog. I've heard about King.
Now, I don't know what his name is, but I'll have a tough time lining up my team if he doesn't get out of there. I'll grab that husky's collar and see if I can move him.
He won't let you grab his collar, Monk. You better leave him alone.
What do you mean he won't let me grab his collar? I'll break him.
What'd I tell you, Monk? Leave him alone.
Go out with me, will you? I'll show you who's boss. When I say move, I mean move.
Don't try to whip him.
One good start with this whip and he'll be on his way.
Don't try it, Monk. I've heard about this dog. He's dynamite. Don't get him riled, Monk.
Don't tell me how to handle dogs. The whip's the only thing they understand. Stand back, Silk. I aim to teach Preston's dog a lesson he'll never forget.
Yukon King's menacing growls had enraged Monk Wessel. The trapper raised his whip, intending to strike the dog. But as his arm went back, King stood up. King's eyes flashed dangerously and his fangs were bared. The great husky was poised for action.
Don't do it, Monk. Leave him alone.
I'll teach him who's boss. You won't be so cocky after you've had a taste of this whip.
You're crazy, Monk. Huh? If King doesn't get you, the mounting will. Preston's likely to jail you if you try to beat him. Look at him. That dog's ready to spring, Monk.
Maybe you're right. Come on, Silk.
Now you're being smart. You'd have been crazy to tangle with that dog. Now look. Move to the other side of the door.
Well, if he'd done that in the first place, we'd have no trouble. All right, you mutts. Line up. Line up there. Get on the sled, Silk.
Right. Hey, this is mighty good-looking equipment, Monk.
Well, it's not mine. I'm taking it to Sam Baxter. Mush, you melon, you smush!
Will we reach your place before dark?
We will if we don't stop at Baxter's. We'll go to my place first, fill up the fire, and have something to eat. We'll go to Sam's later. Mush! Hello!
A threatening blizzard darkened the sky before the two men reached Monk's cabin. Leaving the equipment on the sled, they hurried inside. Monk lit an oil lamp, then added wood to the fire. When the meal was ready, he placed the food on tin plates.
There. Chow's not fancy, Silk, but it's hot and it'll fill you up.
How are your trap lines, Monk?
Well, I'm hoping to get enough pelts next season to go back to stage.
You can go back right now. Take plenty of gold with you, if I've heard right.
What are you talking about?
Baxter. He keeps his gold in his cabin, doesn't he?
Yeah, but...
Monk, I'm going to get his gold.
Oh.
You with me?
Well, I don't know.
Would you rather walk a trap line for the rest of your life? Hoping from year to year that the next season will be better?
Mm. No.
Well, then.
All right, I'm with you.
I thought you'd be. Let's go.
All right, take the equipment with us. You won't be suspicious.
All right. But let's get to Baxter's place and be back here before the snow starts. There's a storm coming that'll cover our tracks.
Monk halted his sled in front of Sam Baxter's cabin. Then, after unloading the equipment he had brought with him, he said...
Close the door, Silk. Sam, this is my friend, Silk Barron. Silk, meet Sam Baxter.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Barron. Monk, I'm obliged to you for bringing out that equipment.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, get down!
Never! Leave Monk alone! Crash!
Monk, do all dogs hate you?
Oh, they're all alike. They're all dumb.
No, Monk. Dogs are smart.
Mara, dumb. Yours doesn't like me.
Well, maybe she knows you better than we do. You sure you don't have something on your conscience you're not telling us?
That's enough, Sam.
Oh, sure. No offense, man. Well, take off your parkas.
We're not staying long.
Yeah, I guess you want to get away before the storm breaks. Well, I don't blame you. Monk. What's the idea of pulling a gun?
Take it easy, Sam.
Mark, you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy.
Is this robbery?
Yes, it's a robbery. After we take your gold, we'll clear out of here. Too bad, old-timer.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, kids, how about you and your whole family going to the baseball game? You'll have the time of your lives. Seeing those smashing home runs, watching exciting double plays and strikeouts, eating peanuts and Cracker Jack. Why not go this very week? Come out to the ball game as guest of a major or minor league team. Yep, admission is absolutely free if you are 12 years or younger and bring mom or dad or another paying adult. And you can get your free ticket immediately. No mailing, no waiting. Free baseball tickets are right inside packages of Quaker Popped Wheat, Quaker Popped Rice, and Muffet Shredded Wheat. In Quaker Pack-O-10, you get two free tickets. Names of the teams and dates of the games are on every ticket. Remember, the more packages of these delicious Quaker cereals Mom gets, the more free baseball tickets you get. So tell Mom you want to eat lots of Quaker Popped Wheat or Popped Rice, Muffet Shredded Wheat, or Quaker Pack-O-10. And just think of the fun you'll have at the ball game, seeing real star players in person and cheering for home runs. Now to continue.
Sergeant Preston and King had been to Ottumwa's Indian village. After spending several hours with the old chief, the mount he had shoved on, hoping to spend the night in Sam Baxter's cabin. Though progress was slow, he had traveled steadily through the storm. The great dog King ran ahead of his master, breaking a trail to Sam Baxter's cabin. Long before the mountie realized that death had struck in the cabin among the foothills, King caught its scent.
All right, go on, King. Go ahead, fellas.
King reached Sam Baxter's cabin ahead of Sergeant Preston. He looked back anxiously toward his master.
All right, King, I'm coming.
There, boy. Looks like we're in for a lot of snow. You're mighty anxious to get that new collar of yours. That's strange. No sound of anyone moving in there. Sam generally comes to the door right away. The door's unlocked.
Before the Marty could open it, the great dog nudged the door ajar with his nose. King stood at the threshold, whimpering as he looked inside.
Sam! What in the world? He's been shot, King. Let's see if there's anything we can do for him. No, he's dead. No weapons near him. Cold-blooded murder. I'm moving to the buck. I see Monk Wessel was here. There's the equipment he left.
King stopped beside the still form of a small dog. He saw the jaws locked, and from small, sharp teeth hung a piece of cloth.
Murdered for his gold. Every bit of it's gone. Oh, yes, King. I see the killer shot your friend Snapper. She must have put up a fight. What's this?
Sergeant Preston loosened the clenched jaws of the dead dog and took from its mouth a piece of cloth. The Mountie studied the texture of the fabric.
Heavy. Looks as if it were torn from a parka. A bright red parka.
King knew it was Monk Wessel's scent that still lingered on the fragment of material.
The only clue we have, boy. We'll go after a killer wearing a red parka. Come on, King. Well, go talk to Monk Wessel. He may be able to help us.
A short time later, Sergeant Preston reached Monk Wessel's cabin.
What's wrong, fella?
Hey, what?
Oh, hello, Monk. I want to talk to you.
Oh, Sergeant Preston. Well, come on in.
Quiet, King.
Silk, here's Sergeant Preston. Sergeant, this is a friend of mine, Silk Barron.
I've heard of you, Barron.
You have? That makes us even.
Quiet, King.
Oh, don't worry about him growling, Sergeant. Dogs don't like me.
King usually has better manners.
Well, I'm used to the critters acting that way. Well, say, if you've been traveling through the storm, you might like something hot.
That's a good suggestion, Monk.
I'll fix some tea.
It's on the shelf back of the kitchen door, Silk.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Well, you said you wanted to talk to me, Sergeant.
Was Sam Baxter all right when he left the equipment at his cabin?
Why, sure. Why?
He's been murdered.
You don't say. Oh, I'm downright sorry to hear it. Have any idea who might have killed him?
This piece of cloth was torn from the killer's parka.
It should be easy to find a parka that color.
That's what I'm counting on. People will remember a red parka.
Yes, they should. Silk's a long time fixing that tea. I better see what's holding him up. I'll just be a second, Sergeant. Take off your parka and make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Mark.
What's the matter, Mark?
I'll get out the cups. Yeah, find the tea all right, Silk? Preston has a piece of my parka. What? He found it at Baxter's place.
What?
You need more tea than that, Silk. Make it good and strong. Baxter's dog tore it off the sleeve, remember?
Yeah. Does Preston know you have a red parka?
No. Listen, Silk, what do we do?
I'll put knockout drops in his tea.
Oh, I don't know, Silk. Murdering a moaning or something.
Who said anything about murder? When this hits him, he'll pass out in the snow. The cold will get him, and he'll freeze to death.
Hey, that's a slick idea.
Go in and sit down, Monk. I can make a pot of tea without any
help. All right. Just be sure Preston gets the right cup. Oh, sorry to be so long. Tea'll be ready in a few minutes, Sergeant.
If it's any trouble...
Oh, no trouble at all. It's just that Silk doesn't know what he thinks. Sergeant, why do you think Sam was killed?
He was murdered and then robbed.
Mm. You sure of that?
Yes. Sam had taken me into his confidence. He told me where he kept his gold. I looked there this evening, but the gold was gone.
Poor Sam. He was planning to go back to the States next year and live with his niece. You know, I'm surprised anyone would be out on a night like this.
From the killer's point of view, the night's perfect. Snow's already covered all tracks.
Here you are, Sergeant. Steaming hot. This should warm you up in a hurry.
No, that's fine.
King, Sergeant Preston had trained King to accept no food from strangers. King knew Monk Wessel was an enemy and a killer, and he realized that his master was not suspicious of Monk and his friend. King's training and his intense dislike for Monk prompted him to take unusual action, for he was determined that Sergeant Preston would accept no food from these strangers.
Hey, look out!
Bunking, bum boy.
Hey, upset the tea.
Blame me, burned my hand off.
Well, Sergeant, looks like your tea's on the floor.
I swear that dog jumped for me.
King doesn't jump a man without orders from me.
You saw what happened. I say he tried to jump me.
If he tried to jump you, he'd have knocked you off your feet. He had some other purpose. King, what's happened to your manners? Silk, is your hand all right?
Missed being burned. You want me to put water on for more tea, Monk?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Why, no thanks just the same, Monk. I'll have to shove on.
Oh, it's no trouble, Sergeant. Won't take but a minute.
We've thawed out just being inside for a few minutes. I'll go back to Beaver City and ask some questions about a red parka.
Red parka?
This piece torn from a red parka is the only clue to Baxter's murder.
Maybe I can help you, Sergeant.
How do you mean, helping?
I just came from Salmon Creek a few days ago.
What about it?
I saw a fella north of here, just this side of Twin Rocks, who has a parka just that color. He lives in a cabin off the trail.
I remember that cabin. I thought it was deserted.
Well, it isn't deserted now. I stopped there overnight, and it looked to me like the trapper who's living there plans to stay for quite some time. His name's Bill Wayne.
I see. Well, thanks for the information, Silk. King and I'll investigate.
If you don't find Bill, come back here. Monk and I are going to Beaver City with you.
All right, I'll do that. Come along, King. All right, outside, boy. Outside, King.
Don't worry about him, Sergeant. Like I said, dogs don't like me.
Sorry about the tea.
Oh, forget it. No one was hurt.
Wind is still mighty strong. You won't be able to cover much ground in this snow, Sergeant.
It'll slow the killer down, too. Thanks for your help.
Good luck.
Goodbye.
Bye, Sergeant. What was the idea of telling that story about a trapper with a red parka?
I had to think of something after the dog upset the tea.
That blame mutt. I'd like to take a shot at that husky.
Forget about the dog. Preston, I'm worried about. Once he reaches that cabin, it won't take him long to figure out that we sent him on a wild goose chase.
We could clear out.
Fine. Preston comes back and finds us gone. He'll put two and two together and start after us.
If he asks about a red park in Beaver City, he'll find out that I have one.
Yeah. It's a lucky thing for us that parka was hanging in the woodshed. If we hadn't come in the back way, you might have had it in here. We'd have seen it. Now, the only way to stop Preston is a bullet.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He's the only one who knows about the red parka.
Sure. When he's dead, we'll be in the clear.
Look, if you're a parka and a pair of snowshoes...
I don't have a gun, Monk.
I'm out of pistol ammunition, but I have my Winchester. We'll use that.
All right. There's no hurry. Take Preston a couple of hours to reach the trapper shack. We'll wait till he's well on his way back here, and then we'll set up the ambush.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment.
Into the right field stands. It's a homer.
Oh, boy, kids, what fun it is at the ballpark. Come on out to the game. Come now as guest of a major or minor league team. It's your chance to get free baseball tickets. If you are 12 years or younger, you can see a major or minor league baseball game free with a paying adult like mom or dad. Bring the whole family and make a big day of it. This very day, or first thing tomorrow morning, you can get a free baseball ticket. No mailing, no waiting. It's right inside a package of Quaker Puff wheat or Quaker Puff rice or Muffet shredded wheat. Or buy Quaker Packo 10 and get two free baseball tickets. Names of teams and dates are on every ticket. Hurry to get your free baseball ticket in the special package of Quaker Puff wheat or rice, Muffet shredded wheat, or Quaker Packo 10.
Now to continue. Several hours later, Monk Wessel and Silk Baron were waiting behind a dense growth of underbrush at the side of the trail. Heavy snow spun dizzily around them, driven fiercely to earth by the high, cold wind that was like the breath of the Arctic itself. As a trapper, Monk was accustomed to being outdoors in all kinds of weather. But Silk Baron had made his living as a dealer in gambling halls. He had never been forced to endure the hardships of Yukon storms. When he and Monk planned Sergeant Preston's ambush, Silk hadn't considered the weather. And now as he waited for the Mountie to appear, he was blinded by the snow and stinging wind. In spite of his heavy bearskin parka, Silk was chilled to the bone. He longed for the warmth and comfort of a stove or fireplace.
Hey, what are you doing, Silk?
I'm breaking off some of these branches.
What for?
To make a fire.
Oh, no, you don't.
Monk, I'm freezing.
If Preston sees a fire, he'll know we're here.
Snow's too heavy for him to see until he gets close to us.
Nothing doing. Pine branches wouldn't burn. They're green. You might as well throw them away.
If Preston doesn't come soon, I'll freeze to death.
Yeah, the trouble with you is you're soft. What would you do if you had to walk a trap line all winter?
Any fool can walk a trap line.
You couldn't.
All right, I couldn't. I can't stand being out in this storm either. If Preston doesn't come soon, I'm going back to your place.
Yeah, you... Take it easy, Silk. I think I hear his dog.
It's about time.
The snow's so thick I can't see him.
You'll have to wait till he gets close before you shoot.
Maybe it's better that way. Close range, I can't miss. I'll be sure to hit him.
Traveling on snowshoes through the storm, Sergeant Preston's journey seemed as endless as it had been futile. Finding the cabin near Twin Rocks deserted, the Mountie had started back for Monk Wessel's place to ask questions. Preston would have welcomed the opportunity to rest a few hours, but he was determined to learn why Silk Baron had lied about the man in the red parka. The great dog king was just a few paces ahead of his master, breaking a trail through the unmarked blanket of snow. The soft white flakes were falling heavily, glittering in the moonlight that soon faded into dawn. King knew from the sounds and scents of the wilderness that he and the Mountie were the only living things stirring.
Let's travel faster, King.
King obediently quickened his pace. As the dog moved ahead, a new scent filled his nostrils. Freshly cut pine. King didn't know that the scent came from the green branches Silk Baron had torn from a pine tree. But he did know that he hadn't noticed the scent when they covered the trail a few hours earlier.
You're slowing down, boy. Come on, we have a lot of work ahead of us.
King had shortened his strides, and now the scent of pine was heavy in the air. The great dog decided to investigate. It was then that he caught the hated scent of Monk Wessel. The dog's fur stood up sharply on the back of his neck. His animal caution warned him of danger, but King didn't heed the warning. He raced through a screen of falling snow toward the underbrush at the side of the trail. Monk Wessel saw him coming. Monk raised his carbine and fired. But he had underestimated the dog's speed. The bullet clipped King's fur, but the great husky didn't slacken his pace.
Monk, you missed him. Shoot again.
Monk hurriedly leveled the weapon. But in his frenzied haste, the cartridge jammed in the breech. Before he could release it, King left. In one blinding flash, King was over the underbrush that separated him from the killers. And Sergeant Preston was close behind.
Help me!
Monk screamed his panic as King's jaws closed on his gun arm. The dog's fangs pierced the fabric of the red parka. Monk knew that if he struggled, King's strong teeth could tear through his flesh like a steel trap.
I'm coming, King.
I'll get you.
Silk Baron reached to scoop up the carbine Monk had dropped. But before he could get it off the ground, Preston fired.
No.
The Mountie's bullet struck the gambler's right hand.
All right, King, you're covered, both of you.
Johnny, call off yourself, Preston.
All right, King. Steady, boy.
I'm wounded. You shot me. Oh, that dog of yours sure had me scared, Preston.
I see my search for the red parka has ended, Monk.
I can explain that,
Sergeant. I suppose you can explain firing on King and me. Both of you are under arrest in the name of the Crown.
My hand is smashed. You busted it with your bullet. I'll never be able to deal a deck of cards again.
You should be more worried about your neck than your hand. The two of you will hang for murder.
Well, now, listen, Sergeant. It was Silk's idea to kill Sam. He said we could clear out of the Yukon and take Sam's gold with us.
You dirty double-crosser.
Who pulled the trigger? Who shot Bex? You did. I didn't even have a gun.
Monk, I'm taking you both back to your cabin. I'll put handcuffs on you and leave King on guard while I look for Sam's gold.
You won't have to look far. It's under the table in the kitchen.
We'll go there and pick it up. And then we're going to the jail in Beaver City. And if either of you makes a break...
No, don't worry. We won't make any trouble.
Get moving.
Just keep that dog away from me, Preston. He hates me anyway.
King hates all killers. Get moving, both of you. Yes, boy. The case of the Red Parker is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Young America keeps his musical knowledge up to date by listening to Phonorama Time, starring Johnny Desmond. Every Saturday, Johnny presents a roundup of the platters that are making musical history from coast to coast. In addition, he brings such outstanding big-name guests as Teresa Brewer, the Fontaine Sisters, and Bill Haley's Comet. Guest disc jockeys from every section of the country appear regularly to report to listeners on the top tunes in each of their hometown areas. And interesting teenagers appear on Phonorama Time to bring their viewpoints on what young America is thinking about and talking about in music and other fields as well. Everyone loves Johnny Desmond, and everyone loves his Phonorama Time show. So gather your friends and fellow music fans around this Saturday and every Saturday for the musical session you can't afford to miss. Phonorama Time, starring Johnny Desmond on Mutual over most of these stations.
Revenge can be the motive for murder, and so can fear and greed. A web of dark motives obscure the disappearance of Stephen Hall, and the sergeant and King may soon find that the search for truth is often dangerous and sometimes deadly. Don't miss this next exciting adventure.
These Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Adventures are brought to you every Monday through Friday at this time by the Quaker Oats Company, makers of Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the delicious cereals shot from guns. By special recording in cooperation with the Mutual Broadcasting System. They are a copyrighted feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated. Created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, and directed by Fred Flowerday. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. So long. This is Mutual, radio network for all America.